Welcome to the Power of Love Show, sponsored by the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we shine a light on loss and grief and how it impacts our lives. We are here to provide hope, resources, and a community so no one feels alone in their grief. Enjoy the show.
All right. Hello, everyone. Today's date is April 3rd, 2024. TJ Jackson, along with the brother Taj Jackson, coming to you live and direct. Thank you so much for being here. You may be watching us on Facebook or YouTube, but you could also possibly be listening to us via the podcast. Yes, each and every one of our episodes are ingested into the podcast universe, where you can listen to us if you can't catch us live or on one of those platforms, Facebook or YouTube. We, of course, most of you, I assume, who are tuning in are have been here before, have heard our show, and know what the purpose of this show is. The Power of Love is a brainchild of love from the Dee Dee Jackson Foundation, where we talk about loss, grief, and how it impacts our lives, of course. So our complete intention for this show and every single show we've done and every single show we do going forward is to give you all who are listening or watching some type of help, some type of source where you could utilize it to grow. That is the whole purpose of this show. So I just felt the need to say that because we've done so many shows where people may be wondering, what is this show about? Now, with that said, though, Taj, we need a disclaimer. We are not licensed therapists. We are just ordinary people who've experienced loss in our lives. We've been impacted by it, and we have learned from it. Mm-hmm. And what we like to do here is share our opinions, our experiences, in an attempt to help you get through whatever it is you may be going through. Saying that, if you need professional help, we urge you to seek it and to find it. So please do not just rely on us.
Yes.
Taj Jackson, I think that was a solid enough intro where we could get to the next phase of the intro, and that is to talk about our weeks. So yeah. I will come to you first, big bro, and ask you, how was your week?
I'm going to rattle it really quickly because I actually had a very long week in a good way. You know,
okay, good.
Start off with my mother-in-law's birthday on the 28th, which was great. Paloma.
Nice. Happy birthday, Paloma.
Then we had an Easter.
Nice.
Which was incredible. Always seeing aunties is incredible in that way. And family and Lana and all that stuff, that was incredible. And then was mom's, you know,
yeah,
which I know you'll probably talk about in that way. So a little, some ups and downs in that way, but it was, you know, left a message basically wanting to hear everyone's thoughts, you know, or if they knew my mom or our mom, to leave a comment of like what, you know, your interaction with her. And so reading people's messages was incredible, like very therapeutic in that way.
I never thought of doing that, Taj. So I appreciate you for doing a post like that, where people who knew mom or you know, knew of mom can share any experiences. And that gives us a source to be able to read and to learn about mom. I mean, I think I've said it on the show. There's many times where I'll run into someone that I don't remember at all. And they'll you know, come up beaming with a story about mom. And it really does. It's soothing, eh? It's love for me, and it's huge. But what I love about it is I get to learn a bit more about who mom was, being someone who lost her at a young age. So, for anyone who's experienced a loss, a significant, you know, person in your life, I do suggest to do what my brother just did and make a post, whether it's on their birthday or another important day. For that person, I recommend doing a post and encourage people to leave a comment with a memory or something they would like to say. And that way you have it forever. And, you know, I think it's a beautiful thing. I never thought of doing that. So, again, big thank you to you.
Well, it's not my idea, but in general, cool. I've seen other people do it. But yeah, thank you. So that was that. And then yesterday we had went to my grandma's house and saw some aunts there and cousins. So it was
so cool.
It was a lot of family, which is great. And, you know, in that way. So normally I don't have much to say, but yeah, lot of family gatherings and stuff like that. And so grateful for that.
Well, something I'm going to add too is 2 days ago, was it 3 days ago? Anyway, several days ago, I went to Universal Studios. It has been a while since I have been there. Man, is that thing packed and jumping and people everywhere, Taj.
I know. Yeah.
Fun experience. Reminded me of our youth growing up in the San Fernando Valley. But I think it's always cool to, if you can, every now and then, go find that inner child of you and go to an amusement park with some loved ones and just relax and enjoy life. You know, but I got to say, it was a lot of people. It was sold out that day. So it was quite crazy. It was quite crazy. But that was probably one of the highlights, besides what you mentioned, was a highlight for me, as it had been some time.
Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Taj, I think we're ready. Let's get into our show, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, and one more thing. We have to say happy birthday to our cousin, Paris. Birthday, Paris. Before we let the day go too far, we want to say happy birthday.
Yeah. I didn't know if we were doing it in the beginning or the end, but yeah.
So. We did it. That way we, in case, man, I don't know how you remember.
Say, yeah, that way we don't chance it. Right?
All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, on today's episode of the Power of Love Show, we welcome a very, very special guest. Her name is Krista Polish. I believe I said the name right. Krista will correct me if I'm wrong. But after living for years in a verbally and physically abusive marriage, Krista summoned up the strength to end that unhealthy relationship. She had just launched their youngest child off to college when she and her husband decided to get divorced. Mm. She knew it would be a challenging season, but little did she know what laid ahead. Only 3.5 weeks later, Krista suddenly found herself a widow. Her husband committed suicide. Krista and her children navigated through their grief together and with the help of professional therapists. Because she had been a stay-at-home mom for most of her marriage, she found herself completely unprepared and overwhelmed for what life had now presented her. However, Krista did not sit idle. She began reclaiming her life one step at a time. She started tackling the tough stuff, and now she helps others do the same. Krista is the author of the captivating memoir, Admitting Abuse. You might not get over it, but you will get through it. She is a powerful informational speaker where she engages audiences by sharing her emotional stories with unbridled truth and humor. She recently founded her own consulting business, helping people be more prepared in the event of an unexpected tragedy. In addition, Krista is committed to helping widows and widowers less fortunate than she, which inspired her to start a nonprofit ministry called Widows Without through the nonprofit Bridges US. Krista is candid, encouraging, and blunt about how she turned a tragedy into triumph, and now she's committed to helping others do the same. As she says, I'm not bashful about telling people, don't wait to get your SHIT together. Here today to share a bit more about her personal journey and impactful work. Without much further ado, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Krista Polish to the Power of Love Show. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thank you so much. And I'll just give you a little correction. Polish.
Ah, Polish. That's not a little correction. That's a big one. You could be straight up, straight honest.
He butchered Polish.
I did. And you know the crazy thing? We practiced just before, but there you go. And if I could be completely open, Krista, I hope it's okay. She said, I may sometimes say things that may not be appropriate. And both Taj and I were like, be yourself, easy be
word.
You.
Yeah,
so yes. So do you, okay?
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That was like one big, like, oh God, I'm going to have to keep it rated G. So that's now, tough to do when I have to talk about this crap. So
yeah. You do be you. We want you to be you. So Krista, can you take us back to the moment you made the decision to leave your abusive marriage? What was going on through your mind at that time? And how did you find the strength, or why, when you did it, why then?
Thank you, TJ. So yes, I can take you back to, so this happened in 2018, and that summer, things had not been good in our marriage for a long time. And I just continually said, I'm going to stick it out until my kids go to college. My son was a senior at UCLA, and my daughter was about to start her freshman year at Cal Poly, San Luis Obispo. So we had gone on a trip after graduating from high school to Hawaii, and you would think it would be great with your family. I know you guys have kids, and sure, mm-hmm. a lot of people out there do. And well, it wasn't the Hawaii trip that most people would take with their families. And things had really been brewing that year anyway. And that trip, a couple times we went to dinner, he didn't even come with us. Mm. Very strange. Well, the last night we were there, he was just, he had been really struggling. Yes, he had a lot of depression and mental illness issues, but the abuse had really escalated through the years, 10 or 15 years. And so the last night we were there, he was, well, pretty hammered. And the kids and I came home from dinner, and he asked me for the keys to the car. And I said, no, not give me the keys to the car. And give me the effing keys. And I said, no. And in front of my son, it was 21 at the time, he threw me into a wall. And then my son, they had not seen any of that yet. You know, I hid some of these things from them, the physical things. And so they were going to get into it. And I of course, as usual, said, I can't, please stop it, everything else. So of course, that was a terrible night. And then the whole night was awful, physically hurting me. My kids and I slept in one room by ourselves. I huddled in a corner and interestingly called a friend who I knew was going through a divorce back in California. And I said, I need the name of your divorce attorney. I can't do this anymore. And keep in mind, that very day in the afternoon, my kids said to me, Dad does not treat you well, Mom. Mm. And that was, actually just got a chill thinking about that moment going, oh God. Mm. Now, not that they didn't see things, they were grownups, but I thought I have to do something. And then that night that happened. So the next day we came home, you know, week later we had the conversation, you know, you got to work on yourself, all these things. Well, it was like he got pushed into a wall, you know, the bear in the cage, probably treated me worse that summer than he had in a while. Mm. My daughter went off to school that September, and month went by. Don't ask me why we actually went to parents' weekend together. It's terrible. On the way home, it was this, what is going on? You're not working on yourself. Of course, I finally found my, you know, fighting mm-hmm. voice again because the kids weren't home. And I said, what are we going to do about this relationship? And he said, what relationship? This relationship is over. And I was kind of like, oh, well, great. Someone finally said it. Mm. Now, about a month prior, and to your question, taking back exactly where I was, I remember we were in an argument and I was in our kitchen and he's just hurled the insults like crazy. I was stupid, fat, an idiot, a moron, you know, all these things. And it was the first time that I sat in the kitchen and I didn't have tears well up in my eyes. And I went, I'm done with this person. I can't do this anymore. I don't care if I live in a shoebox. I'm not gonna live this way anymore. So then what happened, of course, after we decided to agree to separate and get divorced, 3.5 weeks later of up, down, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. I hate your guts, you're a terrible wife. Horrible, horrible time. And then one day, I said goodbye to him. We were kind of living at home together on and off. And I said goodbye to him. And 6 hours later, I got a call saying that he had jumped off a building and taken his life. Yeah. So.
Oh, so sorry, Krista. It's hard to know what to say when you hear this. I mean, a divorce, going through an abusive, physical, any type of, you know, difficult relationship is hard in itself. We put up some comments of people who can relate to that situation. And then coupling it with something that usually does not happen, especially so soon after a divorce. So again, our love and strength and support is with you. Can I ask you first, I know this is kind of rewinding. There's a lot of females who watch our show. So first and foremost, I want to thank you for being open, for being you, because you are helping many either who have went through it to know that they're not alone and they can relate, but maybe someone's going through a similar situation right now. So I thank you. That's something that me and my brother can't really speak on with the genuine and authenticity like you. So first of all, thank you for that. The question I have is, when you're going through that kind of difficult, challenging relationship, how do you know what side is up and where to go and when to go? So my question to you is, well, let me say it this way. What would you tell someone that is going through that kind of a relationship, whether it's been a year of the physical or emotional abuse? What would you tell someone that you can, that you think could help them through that?
I appreciate that question, because and I love that you said, obviously I have alone. I did not feel alone in my grief, but I felt alone in my marriage. And the fact that you say, don't want people to be alone in your introduction in their grief. Mm-hmm. I felt very alone in my marriage for a long time, because we lived that life. Mm-hmm. We were that BS couple with the literally two kids and a golden retriever, you know, the boy and the girl and the house on the hill. And I had to keep that up, or I felt like I had to keep that up. Mm-hmm. And it was a really hard facade to keep up for. I was married for 24 and a half years. Yeah. And it was what I would tell someone. I wish I had shared more. I have a very close family, and I kind of shared a little with my one sister, never shared until Paul. I never shared with anybody that he hurt me, physically hurt me. And that was really difficult, because it was so humiliating and shameful. And girls like me, I mean, girls like anyone, no woman should have to go through that. But that was what I told myself. Girls like me aren't in marriages like that. Mm-hmm. Well, unfortunately, we find ourselves there no matter what and no matter where you are in your life. And I said this when I, that was part of my title, my book, and I'm telling you, I'm answering this long because that's what I do. But it goes with all of it, because I never admitted to myself that I was in an abusive marriage, because he never punched me in the face.
Yeah.
You know, that was the only reason why. That's a bunch of BS. And so that was a really hard thing for me to admit to myself. And I always said, funny enough, if I ever wrote a book, which was a joke, I thought in my life, that would be called Abuse Has No Tax Bracket, because yeah, anyone can experience, men and women, as we know. It's not just women. Unfortunately, it happens more to women, but that is something that I want to try to break that. And we need to, and we talk about this all the time about, we need to be more open. We do. And yeah, this has been really tough for me. This is not anything. When he died, I said, I'm only having a funeral for our immediate family. Mm. And 500 people came.
Wow. Wow.
So we have to be more open too about, we talk about this now. I love it. We talk more about mental health. You know, we're that word abuse and therapy and mental illness are not bad words. And we need to really be more open with, everybody does. So
true.
I would encourage people to be more open with someone they trust. I wish I had done that. And I didn't. I felt very alone.
I think also, which is, we're so grateful for you, because, you know, people like you, when you share your stories, it lessens that stigma, you know, that we all have inside of us of, you know, that facade that you had to play in that way. And if someone is listening to this and watching this and it's like, that's me, you know, so I'm just very appreciative of your courage in that way, because reliving stuff in general is always hard, and especially with your, what you've had to go through. So
thank you.
Well said, Tosh. And then, as I mentioned, going through divorce is incredibly challenging, especially when well, I think any type of divorce, there's always an underlying reasoning for the divorce that is tough to get through in itself. But then, of course, like you said, just 3.5 weeks after, you lose your spouse to a suicide in an unimaginable way. So my question to you is, how did you cope with the sudden loss of your husband?
Lots of champagne, I'll tell you that. sadly, not mine, but, you know, yeah, it was really difficult, especially with my kids, because it doesn't matter how old your kids are, you know, you have kids, and once you have a child, I truly believe this, your life is not your own anymore.
Yeah.
And no matter how old they are, that is your first priority. And they were my first priority for sure. And then there's this weird, you can kind of escape your own grief for a minute because you want to focus on theirs, but nobody can grieve. I mean, this is what you do for a living now. And only you can have your own grief. And I loved what your guest a couple weeks ago, Kara, right? She said, everyone, which I completely agree with, you know, everyone has their own grieving process and you have to respect where everybody is. You know, everyone wants it to be over and you should be fine now and all those things, which is unfair, understandable, because people want you to be happy again. They want you to get on with your life. But I said to my kids, we are not going to let this define us. This, you know, we could all go down the shitty rabbit hole, and we could, you know, put the dirt over our heads and just stay there forever. And people would understand, and we could use that as an excuse. But first of all, I said, Dad wouldn't want you to do that. And I knew for me personally, I was not going to do that. I didn't know what I was going to do, but I wasn't going to let this define my life. I feel like I'd sort of let him define my life for so long by putting his thumb on me anyway. I was already in the ground, you know, I was trying to sprout up and put the shoes on my head. So, and it was very conflicted grief, I will tell you. It was, you know, I didn't want him to die. I wanted him to get himself together. I wanted him to seek some professional help. And, you know, I would love right now at 56 to be living a life with him, the one that we all think we want to live with our spouse. But I couldn't live with that guy anymore. And life wasn't always terrible with him. So, of course, I was devastated that he would just leave us like that. Understood logically, it was because of what was going on here. And perhaps he was going to be found out that he was hurting me and things like that. So it's hard, and it's still to this day. I think about him every day. It's been almost 5.5 years. Certain days I have nightmares, and it's, you know, it's tough. And then there's other days where I'm like, gosh darn it. Listen to a song. I mean, we were a music family, and so many songs. I mean, he was blaring the music every day in the house, and the kids and I have so many good memories. And then what the hell is this song? Right. But I love the name of your show because it is about love, and it's a love of your family, from friends, from random strangers, from acquaintances. They just showered us with love, and I wasn't going to hold an umbrella. Bring it on, people.
I love it. Bring it on. I love it. So, Krista, in your memoir, Admitting Abuse, You Might Not Get Over It, But You Will Get Through It. Very cool name, by the way. You share your journey of healing. What inspired you to write this book? And was there anything off limits too? I'd love to know, was there a realm of it that you were like, no, this is going to be kept private? Curious to know that. Those two questions. What inspired you, and were there any limits you put on yourself?
Good question. What inspired me to write the book was because Paul was the finance guy. I didn't care. I didn't pay attention. He just kind of said, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. If anything, you know, ever happens to me, you'll be fine. Or if we get divorced, you'll be fine. I mean, random conversations, but anywho, okay. And I didn't really care to know about that. Just like, what can I spend this month kind of thing. And that was really stupid and really ignorant. And that, so it started out, I had a lot of things I had to take care of on my own all of a sudden in 6 hours of seeing my husband. And I, because of the way he treated me too, I was not feeling very smart in all those kinds of things. So I had people helping me, but I really didn't feel good and confident about myself that I was knowledgeable. So sadly, my cousin, 12 weeks to the day after Paul died, lost her husband. She was 48 of a health issue. So I took the train down to San Diego. And interestingly, after Paul died, I talked to our pastors about his service. And I said, I know I am meant to do something. God is going to use me. I don't know how, but some way to use this to do something for other people. I just know it. So I went down to San Diego and there are all these, you know, women. I mean, they haven't had to deal with this with a friend and they're sitting there like, what do we do? So I kind of got to work and I said, you need this, you need that. And she needs help with this and your girls need this. And I thought, wow, I know things, you know? They said, okay, well, can you be in charge? I said, no, I cannot be in charge. I live in Pasadena. No, I can't. You live in San Diego. You need to be in charge. So the more I worked with them and then as I was getting my own things together, you know, 4 or 5 months, it started getting a little bit easier. Not much, but things come every day after someone dies and they need something from you. And so that was in 2019. And at that time, just sidebar talk, I was just, the only thing I was thinking really of doing was going on a road trip by myself. But I had a conversation with my financial advisor. I said, you know what? I think there's something here. I didn't know anything. I'm starting to talk to my friends. They don't really know if something happened to their husband, what to do, what would they do? So the book started out, I mean, I'll write a pamphlet, a workbook, you know, how to get your SHIT together. That was kind of how it started. And COVID came and I took some financial classes. My financial guy was going, you should become a fiduciary. And I was like, my personality is way more fun than that. So I said, no thanks. But I was really glad I did because it was really helpful for my own financial situation. And I learned a lot. I was glad I took the classes and good, but no, thank you. So then a friend said, what happened to that book you were going to write? And I was like, that thing. So she introduced me to a book coach that she knew. And I started talking to this woman. So it started out as just helping women get their shit together. Mm-hmm. And well, of course, when I started writing it, once again, it was all interestingly all about Paul. And I was like, why is this always here? So I thought people are not, they need to know, how did I get here? How did I get to this place? So it really started about my life and I needed to share my story because I needed people to trust me. How did she get here? Mm-hmm. I'm not a CPA. I'm not a trust attorney. I'm not like you say, your disclaimer. That is my whole life. I'm a disclaimer. You know, I know all these things, but I know a lot of things. I've learned a lot from my personal experience. And I knew I had something to offer, but I knew people needed to trust me. And how did she get here? It's just making this up. And then it really took on a life of its own as far as when I started thinking about my life and grieving, I came up with a concept called the 4 D's. And it's what I refer to as the 4 most life-altering unexpected events that can happen in your life and how we're all, a lot of us are pretty unprepared for them. And you can relate to one too. And it's the 4 D's to me are an unexpected death, divorce, diagnosis, and disaster. Mm. And I talk about my experience with all 4 of those in my book. And I think, I don't know if I would have left Paul, but if I at least was prepared for what I need or like what I had or what maybe I would have needed to get divorced before I was so afraid of him in that summer of getting everything together and under duress, that wasn't going to happen. If I had been more prepared and proactive, maybe I would have left. I don't know, but that would have made me feel a little bit more confident to leave. Mm. And so my book went that direction because you grieve all 4 of those things. You grieve a death, of course. You grieve your life with that person. My mom had a massive stroke. My mom was my amazing 74-year-old mom in 2012. And the next day she had a massive stroke. I mean, my mom is still here, but she's not the mom I knew. I've grieved my mom for 12 years now. And And then, so that's the diagnosis. And then disaster, we had to get evacuated in 2009 for a fire. Not prepared at all. And that was so scary. Didn't lose our home, but that in California, that is happening sadly, and other places all the time now. So that is something that I'm really passionate about. So it went into that. And then TJ and Taj, how you can help someone when they go through something like this. How I share how people helped us. And yes, food's amazing, but so many other things you need. And then the end is just hope. And like I said, we will never, my kids, I say that, we will never get over this, but we will get through it. And you can be okay. You will be okay. You can be okay. Stronger than you think.
Love it. Love it. Well, great answer. So Krista Polish? Pulich.
There you go.
Pulich. That's right. Okay. The book is called Omitting Abuse. It is available on Amazon, but I also want to know, Chris, is Amazon the only location you can get it? Just so that our viewers and listeners know.
Thank you. Yes, it is available right now only on Amazon. I will give you my website name too, Preparation. Okay. Piece, and it clicks you right to Amazon, so you can just go to Amazon. But if you wanted to check out my website, you can click on it and it'll head you over to Amazon too.
Omitting Abuse, you may not get over it, but you will get through it. Who would you say is the ideal reader for this book? Who is this book written for, whether that's a specific person or a broad person?
I would say it is mainly written for women who might feel alone. But I would also say it's written for couples too. I mean, I've had lots of men tell me that they didn't realize how they've been a little controlling. They have not engaged their wife in their finances in case something happens to them. And I'm grateful for. I really didn't think a lot of men would read it just because of the title, but I'm very grateful that it has reached a lot more people than I had imagined.
That's incredible.
Thank
That's
you.
Awesome. Do you have the book with you? Do you want to share?
I was going to say, isn't that right behind
you? All right. You have a book right behind me?
Yeah, saw it.
I remember we've done this show. We've done this show for some time and had several authors. And Georgina, one of our viewers, always says it would be great if they can read an excerpt from it. So now we're starting to implement that. So Krista, if you don't mind, if you're okay with it, we'd love to hear an excerpt from Omitting Abuse.
Sure. Wow, I just happen to have it right here.
I love it.
How did that happen? I don't know. Let me see here. So just a little background of what this is. So part of strangers helping you, I had to change my phone into my, I had a really hard time getting rid of my husband's phone, just emotionally. It was a really hard thing to do. So it took me 2 years to do it. Thank God for COVID, because somebody went in my car and stole his phone. So that was helpful to get rid of the phone, but I still could call his number and hear his voice. So I finally said, I need, why am I paying for his phone anymore? I can't do this anymore. So I went to Verizon, and anyway, long story short, something came up where on my phone, all of a sudden, when she was changing the account, it said, Paul Murray has left the family chat. And I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah. Wow.
It was so final that for some reason was just made this so real. And I just lost it.
Yeah.
And this poor woman, and how we're sitting like this and everyone else in a computer. So picture the woman, because it was still COVID time. So we're in plexiglass.
Yeah.
So she's behind me. There's no tissue, because heaven forbid you touch a tissue, right? I'm like, my God, how am I going to wipe myself? I'm like, this. I'm bawling my eyes out. She has no idea why. You know, the mask is, I'm like, oh my God, this is so embarrassing. The reason why I tell that story is because here's the ex. She was so sweet and said, all of a sudden she goes, are you okay? I'm so sorry. And I said, yes, my husband died. She said, I'm so sorry. And she was so nice. Her name was Priscilla. And I said, it's the kindness and compassion of others that help get you through these moments of random grief during the hard times. So that was 2 years later. I know people want you to get over it. It doesn't matter the circumstances of anyone's death or any one of the four Ds. Like I tell my kids, you might not get over it, but you get through it. It's through the kindness and love of family, friends, and sometimes random strangers that has gotten me through this and will continue to get me through it. I hope I can do the same for other people when they have to go through it too. And then I showed a picture, I'll just show you, of myself. Wait, there we go. I went on a road trip and I saw that statue. Well, of course, I was never gonna be able to climb over it or get over that. But the guy had a cutout of a person and I just walked right through it. And I went, this is my metaphor for what I say all the time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, thank you, Krista, for that. I really appreciate that. It gives a good tone and a good vibe of your book. So I appreciate
it. It's like I'm talking to you guys. That's how it's written. Everyone tells me that. It's like you're sitting next to me on the sofa talking to me. That's how
incredible. My follow-up question would be then, TJ knows where I'm going with this, is is there going to be an audio version of this in that way?
So it's funny because, you know, you guys do this all the time. You know, I don't. So I always think, and then people say, you should read it. So yes, I am trying to do that. And maybe off we could talk because I don't have some kind of studio where I could do that. So maybe we can talk here because I don't know how to do that.
I definitely think you should.
Yeah, because especially there's certain people that are listeners as opposed to readers in that way. And you have such an amazing voice and story to tell in the way you tell it. So I would lean you that way too, in that way. And we'll talk off in terms of equipment and all that stuff needed. It's not much.
Okay. Yes. Thank you. Okay, thank you.
So you kind of touched on this, Krista, but I'm going to dive a bit further because I want to make sure people do know you have a consulting business where you focus on helping people be more prepared for unexpected tragedies. What advice do you offer to those who may find themselves in similar situation? And how can we connect with you if we want to talk to you, Krista, to help us get through those difficult, challenging situations?
Thank you, TJ. So yes, my website is preparationbringspeace.com and that actually has a lot more to do with my speaking engagements, but you can contact me there, send me an inquiry, schedule a Zoom with me if we want to talk. So what my consulting business is kind of what we're talking about, preparing people for the four Ds. And I have checklists. I'm a lot less expensive to hire than a trust attorney. So I will help you get these things together before you meet with that person. And they, you know, I mean, utilize these experts. I have utilized these experts. And I encourage people to do that because that will help you in the long run. But there's a lot of things that when Paul died, it was kind of all over the place. I did not know where things were called. I didn't know. I had to hire my CPA to come and sit on the floor with me because I didn't know some of this paperwork. I can help you kind of at least organize that. And I have a notebook for my kids. I have it on paper and I have it on the cloud. So not if, but when I die.
Yeah.
Not that they're going to be all happy, but they will at least know where to find these things that these people are going to ask them for. And I just want to make it easier for them so that they're not running around and you're crying and what I refer to as cotton candy brain after somebody dies. You know, they will have it for them so that they can go, here you go. I wrote letters to them in case I died today. That advice and things, you know, it's something that's really special to me. And I think a lot of people, you know, it's missing. We don't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
We have to talk about this. It happens to all of us. It's not a bad thing. Live your life the way you want to live it now. And that's great. But your family, your kids, they deserve that. It's not fair to them.
I love everything you just said. I had so many questions and still do. So I may have to get them out and you pick and choose however you want to answer.
Go for it.
The first question is, have you ever thought of making a book or releasing a book like that with guidelines for people to do for in case they do pass, their loved ones can find it and have some type of roadmap? Mm-hmm. The second question is the one you've made. do you have a name for it, or is it just is it just a book, or do you like, do your kids know about this book, where it's at and what they're going to find? Is this, and I love what you ended with saying, that we got to talk about this. We have to, and it's not if, it's when. Such a powerful statement and so true. So thank you for all you just said. And now you can answer any or some of my questions.
So I did an event in Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago, and this woman said, so is your next book going to be the preparing part? And I thought, oh boy, it took me 3.5 years to write this one. But I said, you know, I hear that a lot, and I know what I want to do. I feel like I kind of don't totally know how. I need to ask some people to help me do that, because I know there's a big value. I had surgery last year, and the person that took me to the surgery, I handed him the notebook and I said, if I die today, here you go, give that to the doctor. And I was just like, there it is for you. There's my kids, call them up. I don't have a name. I just have it under my business name, like Krista Polich Consulting. And yeah, some of it is, it's tough. It's morbid. I have literally in there a post-death checklist. That sounds terrible. It's awful. It needs a new name. But there's about 50 things on there that people don't think about. Mm-hmm. And it's needed. And you need to know that when you die, that your family is going to need these things at the ready.
I can't express enough. I think you should write that book and that guideline. I really do. I think it would be, you know, and like you said, people don't like to talk about it, but it's such an important thing. And I think we all get to a point in life where we realize, you know, especially in this fast paced world, that we're maybe leaving a lot of holes in the communication process to our young loved ones who will need to navigate it. And we don't want to limit them and you know, lose years of their lives trying to get back to zero, or get back to the start, I should say. So Todd, is there anything else you want to say? Because it sounded like you did, but if not, I'm going to go on to the next couple of questions.
No, I'm good right now.
Okay, cool. So Krista, can you also author, consulting, and then you also work a bit for, or I should say, put your time into for a nonprofit ministry called Widows Without. Can you just express to us what that entails, what you guys do at Widows Without? And I assume it supports widows and widowers, but I'd love to hear it from you.
Thank you. So it's very early on in the stages. You know, I just went gung-ho with all these things, I'm going to write a book, I'm going to start a business, I'm going to start a nonprofit. Okay, well, you can't do all those. And obviously, so I ran into an old pastor one day, and I was telling him about my book, that I was writing my book and starting. And I said, I also want to start a nonprofit called Widows Without, because, you know, I'm not wealthy, but I'm fine. And I'm grateful for that. And I know I cannot imagine losing a husband or a wife, and they, whether they're the breadwinner, dual income, but especially if they're the breadwinner, but just losing one income, even if you're two incomes, I can't, I really can't imagine that. And so I said, this is what I want to start. And he said, you know how much, and you guys know this, I don't, you know how much it takes to start a nonprofit? Yeah. I said, no. And he said, a lot. And he said, Bridges, what he started, he said, we are the nonprofit. We went through everything for you, in effect. So why don't you kind of just bring it underneath our nonprofit umbrella? So because I just got my book out, I have not spent as much time on that as I have wanted to, but I just gave some money to two widows in the last couple of months. And it was, one woman lost her husband and she has four kids and went to her apartment, and I'm so glad. Okay, I couldn't give her a lot. I could give her $250, but I said, well, where would you need it most? And she said, Target or Costco. I literally was walking through a Target at the time when she texted me, and I said, okay, well, I know which one I'm gonna get her. And she was so grateful. Mm-hmm. And the other one, this sounds really morbid and terrible, and it's awful story. The other one had no money to help cremate, interestingly, her mother. Her husband had just died 2 weeks before, and then her mother did. So she, and so I helped, creepily, helped her with to give her part of the payment to help cremate her mom. And you know what? She was so grateful for that. I anything I could do. I wish I could have done more. And I hope this expands more because there is such a need. And I know that. And there isn't really a lot out there like that. So
I love it. Well, keep it going. And I'm going to add one more thing you do. She's Superwoman, everyone. But Krista also does speaking engagements that are known, obviously, as you all can tell, we all could tell, that are very emotional and authentic and humorous. So the question, I should say it this way. When my brother and I, when we do these shows, we try to keep it light. So we'll poke fun at each other because it's a heavy topic. It's a heavy situation. So the question I have is, how do you balance sharing difficult experiences with the humor and in the way you do?
Well, you've probably seen some of it already, at least I hope so. But that's what helps me. And I know humor helps people when they're going through things. And that was one of the things, to be honest with you, that first attracted me to Paul. He had his own unfortunate abusive childhood, and that's kind of how we got through it. I wish he had worked through it internally, because externally, that's how we got through it. He was the funny guy. But I know that humor can add a lot for someone when they're going through something. And that's what helps people get through things as well. And I briefly tell a story. Paul and I had a trust, but we didn't look at it again. And when he died, that guy had retired. So I didn't even have a trust attorney. Mm. And so I had to meet this woman. I don't even know this person, 2 months after he dies. So we're sitting there and we're talking about things, and she's going, okay, you need this, you need that, and we need to talk to your CPA about this. And I said, well, I don't have a CPA. She goes, why? I go, well, I was sleeping with him. She's like, you were having an affair? And I said, no, that was my husband. Sorry. I mean, black humor, dark black humor, I know. And then she just started cracking up, because that's the first thing I thought of. I don't have a freaking CPA. I never looked at our tax return because the guy in the living room was doing it. The guy I slept with every night, you know. And so it helped me get through it too. And I know it helps other people while I'm trying to share my story and share these things about, you know, getting your stuff together.
Yeah. Well said. I love that, Krista. I have a question. How was it? And so much happened in such a short amount of time. Who did you rely on being, you know, because as your youngest child was a college age, so some people will assume, who may not have children, may assume, oh, well, they'll handle themselves. And she was able to just handle it, you know, focus on her. But as you mentioned earlier, that's not the case. When you have kids, they become a huge part of you for life. So how did you, with all that you went through in such a short amount of time, what was big for you personally through this recovery? Through the recovery stages, was it walks? Was it Greek or yoga? Was it comedy? Was it writing?
Funny enough, this kind of flippant, but not really. Really, like a lot of dumb TV, you know, movies I'd seen a billion times. But it really was, and interestingly, it ended up being my kids. You know, it was kind of the three of us for a while. We are really close, the three of us, and you know, we're still working through all this. All of us therapy, we're in family therapy again, you know, starting out, this is just now 5 years later, something that we need. All of us have our own therapists. I am such a big fan of that for everyone. And it's not just for people up here, you know, therapy is available now. And I'm grateful for that to a lot of people. My church community of friends, I had a hard time going back to that church because we were in the front row and everyone thought we were this perfect family. So it was a tough place, but I know they were there for me. And my family was a huge fallback, and friends, interestingly, who lived around me and then in other parts of the country, I would just take off and go visit friends somewhere else. It was hard for me to be alone in my house that I had good and bad memories in. So that really helped. And then music is just a huge, huge part of me and just letting it all out a lot of times, you know, just by myself. I mean, that poor dog, my dog, you know, when she sees me crying out, she's like, this again, you know, but it's animals and music, really, as you know, with what you're doing with children. I mean, it's huge what that will do for your psyche. It is so powerful.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What does the phrase turning tragedy into triumph mean to you personally? And how have you embodied it in your own life?
So personally, what I picture, I picture like when they're going to knock down a hotel and, you know, build it again. And then we all are fascinated by the big, you know, whatever the hell that
demolition.
You demolished a hotel and you just watch it crumble to the ground. That was my life, you know, slowly crumbling with the years of abuse. And then Paul taking his own life. That was all the rubble on the ground, the tragedy. And then triumph is the rebuild. It's the rebuild. And they always rebuild it better, stronger, usually more beautiful. They find some fabulous architect to make it better than it was before from, you know, 19, well, not necessarily from the 20s or 30s, but, and for me personally, it was going on a cross-country road trip by myself for 2 months and something that I never thought I would do. I drove from California to Florida and back 2022 by myself. And it wasn't a go find myself journey, but you know, I realized when I got home that I just knew that I could get through things, that, you know what, I'm just stronger and things really aren't that big of a deal. I think because of my life where I lived, I was kind of a stress ball. I was anxious a lot and, you know, we always had to keep it down and things like that. And I was like, no one's going to control me anymore. It's just BS. I get to live my own life now and I can do it.
There were so many good questions from our guests, our community, the viewers. But there's one I want to highlight, if that's okay. Sure. And that's from Georgina, who says, do you still believe true love exists, Krista? If yes, what can you tell someone who's afraid of giving their heart again?
I absolutely do. I absolutely do. And I think that it can, you know, it can happen slowly for sure. You know, I think jumping into something really fast would be scary because, you know, it's hard. I have a wall, so I can understand how hard that might be for someone to let go because you don't want to share, but someone is out there to share your heart, Georgina. Someone wants you to share their heart with them and know whatever you went through, that's not the person you are now.
Yeah.
But know that you are stronger for what you went through and that you're not going to put up with that crap anymore. And someone deserves the good Georgina. And that's what I believe.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Okay, and then there's a couple comments I want to highlight. Jack Love says, I'm so sorry, Krista. I relate to the abuse. I finally got therapy for it 7 years ago and learning to love myself again. And Carla says, Krista, I would love to have that book. You really should write that book talking about the guidelines or
I guess prepared. The preparation brings peace. How's
there
that?
You go. That's the perfect title. There you go.
That is my mantra from when I was finally done with doing all this stuff, uploading and all that crap. I literally went, oh, so done with that. And that was where I came up with preparation brings peace, not only for you, but for your loved ones.
That's fantastic. Fantastic. All right. So, Krista, what's the best way for people to get in touch with you?
So the best way they can email me. They can go to my website. The best email is my name, Krista@PolichConsulting.com, or they can just go to preparationbringspeace.com.
Okay. I'm trying to pull this out. I want to make sure I spelt everything right. That looks right, right?
Preparation. P-E-R-P-A-R.
Preparation. Oh, okay, good. Look, we're going to take that away and fix it.
That's okay. I do it all the time and it's my website.
There you go. Is this right?
There you go. Yep. Yeah. Do your little audience thing.
Hey, you know.
All right. That's me. I dropped the ball on that.
Oh, come on.
Well, first of all, to my defense, I was a math guy. Math was my thing. Although I'm a big reader, whatever.
Well, when you read my book, you know that I'm not a math girl. So,
yeah, there you go. And then, I put an H. Yeah, that one I knew. That one was a mistake. That one was fake. Hold on. We're gonna get this right, just in case someone. Okay, that looks all correct. Okay, for those who are listening and not watching, it's CRISTA at PolichConsulting.com. So Krista Polich Consulting.com.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So that part is done. Now, Krista, we as we mentioned before, and you obviously knew as well from seeing prior episodes, we love to close our show with our guests having the final say, the final word. It could be on topic, it could be off topic, it could be about anything Krista wants to talk about. So my question to you is, what would you like to leave the Dede Jackson Foundation community with?
So I thought about this, TJ and Taj, and I thought about your mom and the post that you wrote. And I love that you talked about giving back and helping others. And clearly that's what I feel about myself, helping others. And I think I'm not sure if it was one or both of yours about shining your light. That's what I think about all the time for myself, that I truly believe that each and every one of us on this earth have our own unique light to shine upon other people. And that is something that I feel very strongly about, because so many times, especially now with, especially the young people, they want to be someone else, or they want to be like someone else. And I saw a quote the other day, and I'm botch it up, but it said, "Be yourself. Everybody else is taken."
And great.
I thought,
love that.
Darn right.
Wow.
And one of the things, and you can appreciate this in my book, I explained the progression of my relationship with Paul using songs. And you can't, I would have loved to use all the lyrics, but I'm not a famous author yet. So, I was going to have to either pay a lot of money or they were going to say no. So I was able to, obviously I did who wrote it, who produced it and who sang it and the name of the song. And I tried to do a synopsis of it and then go about my way. The very last song that I have in my book is a song called You Are, U-Y-O-U, and then A-R-E by Carrie Jobe. And it's a Christian song. Whether you're a Christian or not, it doesn't matter. She talks about, you are the light. You are the light. You are the light. You are the light to shine. And I love that song. And I truly believe that that is why we are here on this earth, to be the light upon others and to help others when they have to go through things in life, because we all have to go through challenges and struggles, and we have to use those to help other people when they go through the same things that we did.
Perfectly said. You are by one more time,
Carrie Jobe, and it's K-A-R-I. Carrie Jobe.
K-A-R-I-J-O-B-E.
You Are is the song.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, her name is Krista Polich. I probably shouldn't have went to the screen right when I'm saying her name, but here is her book, Admitting Abuse. You might not get over it, but you will get through it. It's available on Amazon.com. Search it up there. Of course, you can also reach her on social media. Let me just pull that up again, since we live in a social media kind of world. It is at Krista, C-R-I-S-T-A, Anja, A-N-D-J-A. So I think did I miss anything, Krista or Taj? Did I miss anything? Did I cover everything? You have so much going on in such a cool way. And it seems, it's so funny. You have so much going on, but it seems organized. And you don't have to say whether it is or not, but you seem like you got it down. So big ups to you.
You should see all this in front of me that you don't see right now.
Yeah, if I turn my computer around too, people will be shocked. Organized chaos.
Yeah.
But Krista, on behalf of my brother Taj and our entire Dede Jackson Foundation, you are amazing. You are awesome, and you are very insightful and loving and fun. So We really want to thank you for being on and sharing your story. You are welcome back anytime. I'm wishing you the absolute best going forward. And yeah, just thank you for being here with us. Greatly appreciated.
Thank you both so much for having me. It was great.
Yes.
All right. So we are going to sign off for the day. We will be back next Wednesday at 1 p.m. Thank you all so much for joining, and we will see you next week. Adios, everyone.